Have you ever been in a road that has potholes? Now, I'm not talking about Newfoundland here, who has signs warning you of the potholes, which is communicating we have no intention of fixing the potholes. It could do damage to your vehicle. You can get injured. And sometimes they're wondering, where's the government? Or where are those little ant crews that go and fix everything everywhere? And then when they start fixing things, we're upset because there's construction and they're slowing us down. 2015, Detroit, something incredible happened. Average people like you and I decided they wanted to do something different in Detroit. There were potholes everywhere. And so what they did was they started a GoFundMe page, and on weekends they started filling potholes. In a number of weekends, they did 41 blocks of Detroit. They poured 36 U.S. tons of cold patch. This is unbelievable. All in their own labor, all in the other thing of raising funds for it. Instead of blaming, complaining, these people made a difference by finding a peaceful way, not only for themselves, but their neighbors, in restoring something that was broken. Let's pray. God, we want to be people of peace, to bring healing to our own lives and all those we touch. Fill us, restore us, reconcile us to be men and women that you create us to be. Teach us how to reach out in peace instead of retaliation and violence. We want to be a healing place as Christians who identify themselves with Jesus. We pray this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our text today, Matthew 5, 1 to 9. Ernie's going to have it up. I'm going to read it. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and they began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they'll receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called the children of God." Jesus on the hillside, sitting, talking to those who are closest to him. He is speaking as God would speak, as Jesus is the Christ. Words that would penetrate to the deepest part of our being. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. And today, blessed are the peacemakers. Is anyone getting these down? These phrases have bumper stickers written all over them. I wonder what Jesus is thinking. Are those who are with me day in and day out catching this? Is this going to impact how they treat others? How they reflect what God is like? Will they live these transformative truths in how they're doing life? Or is this going in one ear and out the other as they think about what they're going to have for lunch? For the Beatitudes to impact our lives, we need to see them functioning in our relationships with God and each other. Otherwise, this challenge, this call to live life a new way, will just fall on deaf ears. In Mark 4, 9, Jesus says, "Anyone who has ears to hear should listen and understand." Today, that's you and me. Listen for the voice of the Spirit in your life this morning. What is he saying to you? To us as a church community? And then, what will this mean to the world in which we live? Who doesn't want peace in their lives, in the world? For those who have been in the military and have seen firsthand the conflict of war, they understand our need for peace. Whenever we experience conflict in our families, we're longing for a truce. I had a friend whose home was in continual upheaval. She had an arrangement with the next-door neighbors who were Christians that whenever it was not safe at her own home, she'd slip over next door and spend the night on the couch. John Stott has said, peacemaking is divine work, for peace means reconciliation. And God is the author of peace and reconciliation. It is hardly surprising that the blessing is that they'll be called the children of God, for they're seeking to do what the Heavenly Father has done, loving people with his love. The Pentecostal movement that started in 1906 in Azusa Street in Los Angeles, California, started with a black minister. These incredible meetings lasted until 1915 with miracles and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I know much emphasis has been placed on the spiritual gifts, but there was an incredible racial healing between black and white. One of the quotes from their magazine in 1907, calling the Apostolic Faith, says this: "One token of the Lord's coming is that he's melting all races and nations together, and they're filled with the power and the glory of God." I wonder sometimes if God is more concerned about unity than we realize at times. What kind of things would shatter our so-called peace? A pink slip, a divorce, a wayward child, a failed grade, the loss of a trusted friend, lack of finances, an uncertain future. There's a difference between someone who wants peace and someone who helps to bring and maintain peace. I can remember a couple fights I witnessed in my high school. The first one was when I was in grade 9, going to catch the bus home, when I saw a guy had another guy down, and he was kicking him in the face with platform shoes or boots. You can Google that on the internet, platform shoes. I was happy to be able to hide out on the bus. Another one was when I was in grade 12, when a 19-year-old came back to school to settle a score with a 15-year-old that had accidentally broken his brother's arm. I felt helpless to stop what was happening. These conflicts are so clear in my mind. It's like they happened yesterday instead of 40 years ago. I desperately wanted peace in both of these situations, but did not have the ability or the opportunity to bring any kind of peace. Just a lot of sad feelings and literally feeling sick inside. In Jesus' time, people were trying to find peace. Michael Wilkins says how people approached this goal was quite different. First, the religious zealots. They hoped to bring peace through political means, a military victory. They were willing to wade into violence of guerrilla warfare if it could free them from their oppressors, the Romans. The second, the religious leaders. They wanted religious peace to maintain their position and the status quo. They didn't want anyone or anything rocking the boat, and so they attempted to manage the masses by getting them to follow external rules. Thirdly, Jesus comes to our world as the Prince of Peace, longing to bring a peace on the inside that is greater than all the chaos, brokenness, and pain people experience on the outside. In John 16:33, Jesus says, "I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows." Isn't that true? "But take heart, because I've overcome the world." Sometimes we feel we can control or manage the outside world by having good manners, being respectful, watching our language, and then trying to get along. It'll all just somehow work out in the end. But then we're often shocked when some violent crime happens in our town, province, and country. Almost always you'll hear the neighbors who live next door say, "The person was really nice, polite. They never had any problems with them." Often we attempt to control the outside appearance while things are going just crazy on the inside. Jesus came to heal us on the inside in our relationship with God and each other. It's out of this internal peace that we can now respond genuinely to a hurting world. Proverbs 16:7 says, "When people's lives please the Lord, even our enemies are at peace with them." Now we do not look for others to fix all our problems, like the politician, the educators, the social workers, the doctors. They cannot piece together all the shattered pieces of our lives. In fact, they cannot even heal themselves. So when God mends what is broken, we shift from wanting others to meeting our needs to caring about the fractured world around us. This can start happening when we feel loved from God. We no longer need people to fill the holes in our lives as we so desperately want to belong and be accepted. The Apostle Paul affirms this in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. This should be familiar to you. This would be a great thing. If you don't memorize anything, or write this on a piece of paper and take it with you. Don't worry about anything. Let me start again. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Could you imagine if we started every day that way? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He's done. And then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and minds as we live in Christ Jesus. So our focus begins by reaching out and loving others the way that God loves us. Peace is so difficult to obtain and seems almost impossible to keep. Peace is not the absence of conflict. Also, being a person of peace does not mean you won't have difficulty. When an individual or groups of people are beaten up physically or emotionally, we need someone to rise up and challenge the aggressor so there actually can be peace. Our cities hire police personnel to maintain peace. If someone tried to rob a local bank or the grocery store and the police were called, what would you expect them to do? Oh, sorry to get in your way, Mr. Bank Robber. Now understand, we don't want a conflict. So can you please rob the bank as quickly as possible so we can carry on with the peace? No, the police person brings peace by arresting the one who's breaking the peace. For years, Canada set out peacekeepers to help protect those who could not protect themselves. Psalm 34:14 says, "Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it." We actually promote the path of peace by keeping evil in check in our own lives. Part of the blessing of being children of God is that we actually choose to walk in such a way that it reflects what our Heavenly Father is like, because we live lives of peace both on the inside and the outside. John Woolford: peacemakers show others how to have peace on the inside and how to be instruments of peace in the world. Peace is much more than mere words. Rather, it's a lifestyle that we need to exercise over and over. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called the children of God. A Kansas City police officer, Zach Stamfer, he got a call early in the morning to go check out this park where there was a suspicious person. When he got there, he found a guy sleeping on a park bench. He woke him up, asked him what he was doing there. The guy's name was Samuel. He went on to explain that he had hit hard times, he had lost his home, and now he slept in a church. But he worked. Every day he went from Kansas City to Mission to work and then back again. The problem was he had no kind of vehicle. It took him 5 hours to walk from Kansas City to Mission and 5 hours to walk back. The police officer was stunned. He decided to offer Samuel a ride to Mission that day so he didn't need to walk. And then he went away and he bought a brand new bicycle and a backpack that when he saw Emmanuel again, he could put his stuff into it. When Samuel got the gifts, he said, "Things are so hard for me right now. Any kind of help is such a blessing." On his part, the police officer said of the unusual encounter, "It made my day. Actually, it made my career." We can create walls of hostility because of the color of our skin, because we're male or female, because of economics. This police officer was an instrument of peace and acted like one of God's children. It would be wonderful if we would went and did likewise. Hebrews 12:14 says, work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. We have to ask the question, why do we break peace in our relationships? What is not being met in our lives that we're willing to create unnecessary conflict over? How do we become people who are known by our peace, even when everyone around us seems to be losing theirs? William Barclay suggests that there are three places in our lives where we're at war. The first is with the interior lives, with ourselves. In Romans 15:7, Paul says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Does anyone here know what Paul's talking about? I do. At times, there feels like there's this gravitational pull that's taking us down the wrong path, away from God and everything that is good. We take shortcuts that momentarily fill a need, but afterwards we're wondering, why, oh why, did I eat that half a pie? Or lie about something? Or misrepresent another to be put in a better light? Run away from difficulty instead of walking through it with grace, doubting who God has said we are, daughters and sons of the Most High King. Secondly, we're at war with one another. We compare our appearances, our giftings, our possessions, what we have, what we don't have. We want to stand out in some way in contrast to those around us. We wrong and hurt each other, and then we refuse to give or receive forgiveness. At the Last Supper, right before Jesus' crucifixion, his disciples, who had been training for 3 years, were stuck. Kind of like when we get stuck. Luke 22, 24, 27. Then they began to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. Jesus told them, in this world, the kings and the great men lord it over their people, yet they're called friends of the people. But among you, it'll be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be the servant of all. Which of us is ready to be the servant in our homes, our place of work, in our neighborhoods, in our schools? Finally, three, we're at war with God. For long periods of time, we can live like God does not exist until we're in big trouble and need help. What has God done for us lately? Our genie with the magic carpet. We want the freedom to live our own way, and then he's expected to cover for us. Even when we sin and break our relationships, we often run and hide in fear instead of running back into a forgiving and loving embrace of God. In Genesis 3:8, Adam and Eve are hiding. It says, when the cool of the evening breeze was blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking about in the garden. And so they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Jesus has come to break down our walls of hostility. Let him go. He comes gently and longs to intersect our lives in our understanding of ourselves, in our relationships with each other, and our communion with him. We can be people of peace and learn what it means to bring others into a life of peace. Peace, shalom, is to have a wholeness in every part of our lives. The word peace is mentioned 88 times in the New Testament and is mentioned in every book of the New Testament. What if we could go into every day making it our goal to be at peace with all we encounter? Let's pray. God, help us to forgive others as you've forgiven us. Help us to forgive ourselves. Give us the wisdom and strength to be peacemakers, to pursue peace in all of our dealings. We want to live like the children of God. We want to represent what you're like in our world of unpeace. We pray this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. I have a couple announcements. I'll do my benediction. We'll sing one more song. You'll be dismissed. A couple reminders. Youth this week, 6:30. Is it to 8:30?
Yeah.
6:30, 8:30. End of the meeting here or at Aspen?
Meeting here at 6:30. Going to Aspen after.
Now I know. The other thing to keep in mind is Gabe's memorial that will happen on the 25th, which is a Saturday. 11 in the morning, and we love you. You could be a part of that. When I was 12 years old, and it was my birthday, there's one thing I really wanted. It was not a pony. It was a baseball glove. And you never guess what I got. I tell you, baseball solves a lot of problems in the world. You'll never guess what I got. I got a baseball glove. It brought me great peace, momentarily. You see, there was still conflict at home. There was still conflict at school. There was maybe even conflict with my siblings. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing there's only one that could bring us lasting peace. It's Jesus. Amen. I think that was the second amen there.
Would you please stand while we close with one last song?
Mercy every morning, rising like the dawn. God of all creation, the wonder of it all. You're the song of freedom, you're the only way. Every new beginning is by grace. I've been alive in Jesus, into a life of freedom. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Up from the grave you raised me, out of the darkness saved me. Hallelujah, Jesus Savior. You can still the panic, you can break the chains. You're the only healer, the greatest ever name. Through the cross forgiven, everything has changed. Every new beginning is by grace. I've been alive in Jesus, into a life of freedom. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Up from the grave you raised me, out of the darkness.
Everybody.
Worthy, worthy, you're the only name we're singing, holy, holy, to you the highest praise. Worthy, worthy, you're the only name we're singing, holy.